Spring wildflowers, ephemerals that bloom and then fade away quickly, are just starting to do their thing. This time last year, before we were all social distancing, I met with a couple of researchers who are looking closely at wildflowers on the forest floor and the shrubs and trees above them to understand how climate change and the timing of spring is impacting the ecosystem. It's part of our series, Wild PA. We met in the herbarium at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. It's where 540,000 botany specimens are kept behind the scenes in wall-to-wall cabinets.
So here's a spring ephemeral called Dutchman's Breeches that's aptly named, has these cute little flowers that look like a Dutchman's pants, I guess, hanging on a line.
Like balloon pants. Mason Heberling is the assistant curator of botany at the museum. He's showing me a dried specimen glued to a piece of archival paper. It was collected 120 years ago in April. Next to it is a specimen of the same plant collected in 2017 from the same place in Pittsburgh.
The leaves look pretty darn similar, but the difference is that you don't see the flowers anymore. The flowers have been pollinated and have advanced to fruit. So they're probably 1 to 3 weeks farther along in 2017 than it was in 1900.
Mason's enthusiasm and sort of signaling to other ecologists that these specimens are a really rich source of data has definitely been something that I listened to and now am a true believer.
That's Sarah Kibbing, an assistant professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Pittsburgh. She and Heberling are working on a 3-year research project funded by the National Science Foundation to find out how the seasonal timing of wildflower blooms is affected by climate change and invasive species. That timing is called phenology.
Phenology is the timing of biological events. They're seasonal events that are repeating and occur year to year, like the arrival of migrating birds back to Pennsylvania or the leaf out of trees and wildflowers.
People have been studying phenology for a long time. How is climate change playing a part in phenology?
As the globe warms, a lot of species are responding, especially in the northern hemisphere, by speeding up their phenology or advancing their phenology, meaning that they're doing things earlier. And we think that's because they're using temperature cues as a means for determining when it's time to leaf out or when it's time to flower. But what's also really important about climate change and phenology is not all species are responding to temperature cues. Some species respond to photoperiod cues. Throughout the year, we have long days and short days. And so some species are using light cues, which we call photoperiod. So different species that are responding to different cues could be responding at different times. And so the other thing that we're seeing with climate change is that species that are strongly regulated by temperature are changing, but species that don't make their decisions based only or solely on temperature cues are maybe not changing as quickly, and we call those phenological mismatches.
Their study about the phenology of wildflowers, shrubs, and trees expands on Heberling's previous work with Richard Primack, a professor of biology at Boston University who will also be involved in the new collaboration. Primack and his colleagues compared detailed descriptions of nature from Henry David Thoreau's Walden, written in the 1850s, to the trees and plants growing there today.
And what we found is maybe not super surprising, but in warmer springs, plants leaf out and flower earlier. But what was kind of shocking and not exactly expected was that trees as a group are more responsive to these temperature shifts than wildflowers. So we found, compared to the 1850s, when Thoreau was, recording these observations, trees leafed out about 2 weeks earlier than they do around the Boston area, whereas the wildflowers were only leafing out about 1 week earlier.
And what are the consequences of that for the wildflowers?
Yeah. So the consequences of that are pretty big for these spring wildflowers, because this 1 to 2 month period, roughly, for some of these spring wildflower species, especially what are known as spring ephemeral species that come out super early, and they basically acquire all their carbon or do all their photosynthesis or growth in the early spring before the trees leaf out and shade them out. So if the trees are leafing out earlier and earlier, and the wildflowers are not leafing out as early, what that leads to is basically the wildflowers being shaded out at a very important time in their life cycle, so they're not able to essentially grow as much. And that's some of the questions that we're following up on now, is actually measuring those impacts.
And Sarah, what part, I know you're looking at non-native shrubs, what part do they play in this whole system?
I realized that Mason and his colleagues were talking a lot about the things around our feet when we walk through the forest, the wildflowers and the trees and things above our heads when we walk through the forest. But as someone who thinks a lot about non-native species in forest, I realized they were not thinking about the things you run into or that prick you when you walk through the forest, which are a lot of non-native shrubs that have been introduced widely. A lot of these shrubs also exhibit really interesting and unique phenology relative to native shrubs, and so they tend to, a lot of them leaf out earlier, so some of the first green leafing things you see a couple feet in the air in forest tend to be non-natives.
Like Multiflora rose.
You can see a lot of little buds that are swelling, and even some of them where there are just little bits of green leaf peeking out of the buds.
A week after we meet at the museum, I join Kibbing and Hepperling at Beechwood Farms Nature Reserve. It's one of the spots where they're observing phenological changes and collecting samples to take back to the lab. Kibbing says this waist-high Multiflora rose, like other non-native shrubs, is a lot less conservative about when it puts out leaves than native shrubs.
And that's biologically or ecologically really interesting, that it can be so dominant within the understory, but have this sort of life strategy that's a little bit risky and questionable.
And that means it could be shading spring wildflowers sooner, too.
Should we find that spring beauty and see if it's doing anything?
Kibbing and Hepperling are bent over, moving wet brown leaves to the side, looking for signs of the ephemeral Claytonia virginica that will eventually cover this hillside in tiny blooms.
There we are.
Right now we just have a couple little green leaves, about an inch, sticking up. They could probably easily be mistaken for grass.
We're not sure exactly how much this mismatch of the overstory leafing out really, really early might affect a plant like this. It would need to be pretty early, we think.
Because spring beauties bloom and are gone so early. But other species that bloom later and longer might be shaded out, either by shrubs or trees. They'll experiment with plots of wildflowers they've planted here, taking them back to the lab and artificially shading them to simulate possible scenarios. And they'll incorporate data from the museum's herbarium and other collections to find out what's happening to wildflowers and forest ecosystems in this and other regions.
One other thing, too, in regards to kind of the impacts to the ecosystem, the herbaceous layer, which includes these wildflowers, so non-woody plants in the understory, comprise the majority of the species richness or the number of species in our forests. So it's a pretty important system when you're thinking about conserving biodiversity.
Hepperling says despite the pandemic, they were able to get a lot of their work done last season, especially with herbarium specimens. Kibbing led efforts to bring twigs of native and non-native trees, shrub, and wildflower species into growth chambers at the University of Pittsburgh at different time points throughout the winter to see what conditions are needed for these species to leaf out and flower. And they're both back again at their field sites, where Claytonia virginica, Virginia Spring Beauty, just started to flower. There's more about this project and other conservation stories in our Wild PA series at alleghenyfront.org/wildpa. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.